the OTB Podcast Network.
Brian, that was probably one of the best Premier League games we've seen all season. It finished 3-3 between West Ham and Arsenal. Who will be the most angry and who will be the most happy manager, do you think, after that game? Of course, West Ham giving up that 3-0 lead.
Well, I think Mikel Arteta would be relieved. Whenever your team is 3-0 down the half an hour, you're kind of... there's a sense that it's not going to be a good day for you, and that you might have to be asking very awkward answering very awkward questions at the press conference. But so he would have been relieved that they got back to the 3-3, without a doubt. He'd be annoyed at how poor they were in that first half of the game. And David Moyes will probably feel, he won't feel good. You get 3-0 lead in a match. Football matches are hard to win, and often you get two goals up in your match and you feel a certain level of comfort that you can lose a goal and still win the match. When you get three up, you're going, this is great. But you also know there's too long to go, and that's the problem. And, I think we sensed ourselves once Arsenal got the first goal, and they were playing so well that there was a possibility they would pull it out. They got back to 3-0. I imagine David Moyes is quite upset, but he also would be a little bit of a sense of relief. Well, at least we got a point. He's got a very poor record himself against Arsenal over the years. I think he's only had four wins in maybe 19 games. And West Ham wouldn't have a great record against Arsenal either. They're usually behind them in the table. They're ahead of them at the moment. So I'd say very mixed feelings for both managers tonight. But from our point of view, great game, brilliant entertainment, lots of attacking football, some brilliant individual displays, and some very mixed displays from some very good players who had disastrous spells in the match, but kind of did some brilliant things too.
David Moyes has been criticised in the last couple of months for approaching games negatively, the likes of Manchester United away, Liverpool at home, Manchester City away, games where I suppose people thought, well, look, they've nothing to lose here, they can go for these matches, and instead they play negatively and then lose the games anyway. But you could not accuse them of that today. They went out there this afternoon, the first 30 minutes West Ham were superb.
Well, I'm not very aware of that type of criticism. I think there might have been a discussion around the formations they put out, particularly last week against Manchester United when he went to three centre-backs, played Creswell inside. But he's done that earlier in the season as well. And, David Moyes has always been a pragmatic manager in terms of, he knows the first job he has to do is to get results. And West Ham supporters weren't very enthusiastic about his return. And now he's getting those results. I'm sure they're all looking in from outside saying, isn't this great? I wish we were in the stadium watching us getting these results. So the fact that he chooses to maybe pick a more practical team, I'd say, to try and get result against teams he would feel that have better squads of players, which undoubtedly the teams you mentioned, Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, would have. I think it's fair enough for him to tactically to tweak it a little bit, maybe put in, instead of playing the 4-2-3-1, that he plays a 5-3-2 system, for instance. I think that's okay. Today wasn't about tweaking the system to be more secure defensively. Today was certainly back to what's worked for them against the majority of teams in the league. But have the four attacking players on the pitch, with Suchek joining up, Declan Rice giving a bit of cover to back four, full back supporting when it's on, and that's how they approached it. But they were pinned back in the second half today, and they struggled to find the answer until late on. Then they broke away, had a few good attacks, and Antonio had his chance to put them ahead again, and he hit the post. But tactically, I think there wasn't much wrong with the performance. The substitution, Mark Noble, he put him in when it was 3-2. But the momentum had already gone to Arsenal at that stage, and they couldn't turn it until it got to 3-3.
Jesse Lingard got a lot of criticism at Manchester United for perhaps not putting in the kind of performances that saw him really break out on the scene early in his career. I know he's 28 now, but has it got to a stage now where he was like a big, sorry, I should say a small fish in a big pond, at Manchester United. Perhaps some of those players like that, when they go to a smaller club, they can find a new lease of life. And I suppose what I am asking is, maybe should he look at trying to make that move permanent to West Ham, or do you think he want to go back to Manchester United and prove himself again?
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussions around that. I would imagine the first one would be with West Ham, with David Moyes getting his contract sorted out and he stays on the manager. Then his discussion would be with Jesse Lingard to say, you know, I would like you to stay here, and we're prepared to do a deal with Manchester United. Are you? And then there's not a deal financially. I don't know whether West Ham would have taken on Jesse Lingard's wages in full, or whether Manchester United are still paying them. Then Jesse Lingard has to have a discussion with Solskjaer, if he's still the manager, as to how much he is wanted there. Manchester United might see it as another wage off the wage bill, and an opportunity to bring in another player to replace him in the squad that would give a bit more to the squad where they feel they might need strengthening. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. But overall, it looks like this has worked well for Jesse Lingard, and he's playing matches, enjoying his football, scoring goals, back in the English squad, and West Ham have got a good player there. So, you know, the answer might be for him to stay with West Ham, go back to Manchester United, be a fringe player, but in contention for trophies is always an attraction.
I know it was an outside chance for West Ham to get into the Champions League this season, but with that result now, they're 2 points off Chelsea. Chelsea are just, you know, storming down everybody
Chelsea
in front
of them.
Yeah, they're playing
Chelsea,
so well.
Chelsea and Manchester City are the two form teams in the top half of the table at the moment. Leicester are hanging in there. Manchester United look like they have enough points in the bag already that with reasonable form now they'll stay in it. So there's probably one place still available. I'd say that Leicester is a team under threat. Can West Ham catch Leicester? They could, but there's also Liverpool and Everton, I think, in the picture on that one as well. Am I leaving somebody else out?
Tottenham maybe.
No. I deliberately left them out.
So that's all up for grabs. Listen, Arsenal, as we know, they're out of the top four race, really. So as you said before the game, it's going to be the Europa League for them to try and get into the Champions League. They've got a decent enough draw against Slavia Prague, and then it could be Unai Emery in charge of Villarreal or Dinamo Zagreb in the semi-finals if they get that far. But if you look at that Arsenal team now, they're in really good form at the moment. And just look at a couple of the players in the attack. Like we both said about Martin Odegaard today. He played so well. He seems to be really finding his feet there. A player who's been, you know, I suppose, touted as the next big hope in European football. And for Norway, playing at Real Madrid, he just never really took off there at the Bernabeu. But he seems to have found his feet now at Arsenal. And he's playing really well. And players like himself, Saka, Emile Smith-Rowe, Lacazette was brilliant today. You'd have to give Arsenal a really good chance to win that Europa League.
Of course you would. If they play at the level they can play. But but the basics, Stephen, are you've got to be solid defensively to win anything. You can't win anything.
So why does he keep changing the centre-backs?
I don't know. I don't know who are the best of them. I mean, David Luiz can be he seems to be a great fella around the club. People seem to like him. He seems to have personality, seems to have some leadership qualities. But leadership qualities also involve consistency in your own performances. Hard to keep demanding stuff of other people if you're not doing it yourself. And he's too prone to errors and misjudgments. And like, they've given away goals in the Europa League. I've been covering the Europa League games as closely as I have the Premiership games. And the performances in that have been very mixed. I mean, they had the turnaround situation with Benfica where they were losing the game 2-1, they would have been out. And they needed two late goals from Aubameyang. He was terrible in the first match, actually, against Benfica. But it was a very, very mixed performance, to say the best. And then Olympiacos, in the away game, they did their best to cough up goals, I would say, to Olympiacos. They did cough up one bad goal, then I'm trying to play the ball out through the back to Ceballos. He got caught in possession, and Larrabee just tucked it into the net. David Luiz almost gave away a goal in a similar situation, trying to play it out from the back. And we've seen that. I pointed out the Burnley goal recently as well. You look at them today as well, tried to play it out in the back, and it looked hesitant, didn't look comfortable or competent, I'd say, playing the ball out to Tierney from the back, and he ends up trying to play it inside. It's intercepted by Rice, away to go, and they get this goal, can see the goal from that too. So, you know, they're not solid defensively. They haven't got a unit. They're not conceding as many goals as they used to in big games against the better teams. I give them that. Three was a lot for them to concede today. In general, I think before today they were only on 29 maybe against in 27 games, which isn't too bad by Arsenal standards. So I think there has been an improvement overall there, but they're still not solid enough. Then I'll let in another soft goal today. Yeah. So to win the Europa League, they're going to have to win. They're going to beat. They're going to win two legs, and a final. That's five games.
Yeah.
The Arsenal I've seen up to now aren't reliable for five big matches. Slavia Prague, decent side, beat Leicester, beat Rangers, over two games, no complaints. Lively, energetic, organised, disciplined team that create loads of chances. Villarreal, Dynamo Zagreb, so Dynamo beat Spurs over two legs. You know, and I don't think they're that good, but they're good enough to beat Spurs, so they have to be respected. Villarreal, seventh in the league, not a great side by any means, but technically a good side. So, you know, Arsenal should be capable of winning that side of it, and then you're looking at the final against the other side. But the other side of it is difficult. Roma, Ajax, Manchester United, of course, on the other side of the draw. It won't be handy.
Absolutely not. Just to ask you finally, Brian, before I let you go, because we had your old skipper Kenny Cunningham here last week with me, and he spoke in quite. He was praising Josh Cullen, the Irish defensive midfielder, of course, who is formerly of West Ham, of Anderlecht. Yeah, now, granted, we don't see a huge amount of Belgian football, but he's played 18 games now for Anderlecht. He had quite a good bit of experience under his belt coming over with Charlton and Bolton and the likes alone from West Ham. Do you think that perhaps he's a player Stephen Kenny needs to seriously look at for starting these games against Serbia?
Well, I'm sure he's looking at him seriously. He hasn't had enough time on the pitch for Ireland. I think he played in the last couple of games. He came off the bench.
He's got four caps, but no starts in competitive matches.
And he's looked neat and tidy on the ball, that's for sure. And he looks like he's a good range of passing. I'm sure Stephen is thinking about him seriously, given that there hasn't been anyone who's been outstanding in the middle of the field for us. So, like, the favourites to play would be probably the likes of Hendrik Hurahan, picked up an injury yesterday, might be available anyway. Robbie Brady, another one in there, Alan Brown.
Malumbi's in the talk as well, I suppose. Who? Discussion. Jason Malumbi will be in
the
discussion.
Yeah,
Malumbi, well.
But Malumbi's form, he's not been playing any matches recently. Yeah. This is the problem, Stephen. So many players haven't been. Jeff Hendrick's been in and out at Newcastle, got on a half time yesterday. But Newcastle are near the bottom of the league, he's not getting a game with Newcastle. Robbie Brady in and out of Burnley, not a regular start of any means. So that is concerning. So I'm sure Stephen is thinking about it, but it's a big match. You've got to get decisions right. You've got to think about it long and hard. You've got to look at the players, assess them in training in comparison to each other. You're trying to compare them in matches, but it's hard to go to the matches. I know Stephen has been getting to matches, and he's got to see some of the players. Don't know whether he's got the Belgium or not to see, and the likely he's probably able to see them on TV. But it'll be a big decision, no matter what team he goes for. He's big decisions to make, and the goalkeepers, as I said earlier to Shane, our goalkeepers are not in great shape if Keller is not fit to play. Bazuna is getting, you know, he's playing at Rochdale, but at the bottom of the league, conceding an awful lot of goals. And the other two are not playing. That's Kieran O'Hara, not in the starting team at Borden, and Travers, not in the starting team at Bournemouth. So that's concerning. Set of half positions concerning. You know, who's going to play up front? James Collins got a goal when he got on the sub yesterday. He's not playing regular at Luton. Shane Long not playing regular. Conley, we're not quite sure where he is at the moment. Ida, it looks like he's injured. So his options for the front position are slim too. But the main thing is, no matter who he picks, there's nobody in the group can say, I didn't get a chance or I deserve to play, because none of them have been playing outstandingly well for the clubs. Stephen has to go on his own hunch and pick what he thinks is the best team for the match, and we just have to wait and see and hope that they perform and do their stuff against what will be a very technical team who you'd imagine will be highly motivated under the new manager to get a good start.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Stephen.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.